Shalom Aleichem. We're learning the Sicha of Chelek Tav Beis, Volume 22, Lukat Hasichas, Parshas Acharei, Sicha number 2. It's a Rashi Sicha. The Rebbe points out that Rashi is very, very wordy in a couple of places surrounding the section of Aroyas of illicit relationships and wants to understand why this is. So just to bring it up in front of us. So, at the closing of the section of illicit relationships, the Torah says, do not defile yourself with them. I am Hashem, your Lord. Ani Hashem Elokechem. This is how it closes out. This is actually the last words in the entire portion. The last section of the portion is Arayis, the detail of all the illicit relationships which we are proscribed from doing. And it finishes, Al titamu behem, do not defile yourself with them. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem, your Lord. Now Rashi has a whole Megillah. Rashi says, if you defile yourself, I am not your Lord. Aha! If you don't defile yourself, I'm your Lord, which indicates, but if you do defile yourself, I am not your Lord. And then he gives a whole continuation. The numbers are mine. One, you become unfit to be my followers. Two, what benefit do I have from you? Three, you'll deserve annihilation. And that's why it says, I am Hashem, your Lord. And the Rebbe asks many questions, but the general question is, why all these details? Why all these details? Now, very often when it says in the Torah, I am Hashem, your Lord, it means that I promise reward and punishment. So, however, that's not a problem why Rashi doesn't say that here, because as we're going to see in a moment, that phrase is at the beginning of this section, and that's the meaning it holds there. So clearly this closing phrase, I am Hashem, your Lord, cannot just refer to reward and punishment. Got to mean something else. However, what about just the heading of Rashi? Don't defile yourself, I am Hashem, your Lord, Rashi should say, but if you do, I'm not your Lord. End of story. Enough said. Why all these details and three different details? Remember, the Rebbe takes Rashi extraordinarily serious. Every word in Rashi is counted and measured, as you see in all the sichas. He doesn't just cut and paste, even though, for example, this quote is from the Torah's Koinin from the Medrash. But Rashi is very comfortable to take parts of Medrash and only quote certain words that fit and are needed in the narrative of the literal interpretation. Why, for the literal interpretation of this text, do you need this whole Megillah? Just say the first part. If you defile yourself, I'm not your Lord. Why? One, two, and three. The Rebbe says to answer this, we're going to first address another Rashi, which is problematic. And that is at the beginning of this section, at the opening of the section of illicit relationships. Over there too, it says, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe." Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he says, "Ani Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your Lord." So Rashi says there's two interpretations, but the Rebbe is focusing on the second one. Rashi says, "It's revealed to me, to Hashem, that ultimately the Jews will succumb to the sin, and therefore he presents them with a decree. I am Hashem, your Lord, as if to say." And here too, he gives three things. Know who decreed this upon you. A judge who exacts payment and is faithful to dispense rewards. So here too, Rashi's very wordy. What bothers the Rebbe here is typically throughout the Torah, when it says such a language, I am Hashem or I am Hashem your Lord, Rashi will pick one or the other. Either Hashem is saying, this is a decree, it's coming from me. Know who it's coming from. Alternatively, in other places, it's reward and punishment. Here, Rashi brings both. So it becomes a total of three things. Hashem is saying, it's me that's decreeing. Don't mess around. And reward and punishment. Why is Rashi forced to do that? Again, Rashi only brings things that the literal text sort of demands. Why can't we just make this whole thing simpler? So to recap all of the questions, we have the whole section of illicit relationship, the section of Aroyas, is sandwiched in with two verses. I am Hashem the Lord at the beginning. That's the actual first verse of the section. And I am Hashem, your Lord, at the end. That's the last verse of the section. And Rashi addresses both of them in great detail. In both cases, gives a heading and then three more details. Why? It could have sufficed in both cases with the heading. That's basically it. At the opening, he should have said either, I am your Lord, so I'm decreeing this, or reward and punishment, which is customary. And instead he does both. And at the closing section, he could have sufficed with the introduction. He had to say something at the closing. It couldn't be reward and punishment, which it normally is, or as it is in this case at the opening. It's got to mean something different because you can't say the same thing twice in the same section. But it could have sufficed and say, you know what? At the beginning, I told you I am Hashem the Lord. You know, don't start up. Or reward and punishment. At the end, it should say, but if you do, the father said, I'm not your Lord. Maybe he's trying to stick it to us even more. But why again the one, two, and the three? And the Rebbe is going to beautifully explain that Rashi is forced, so to speak, by the text itself to explain both verses with such great detail, and that they all both include three details, and that these three mirror one another. Says the Rebbe the way I understand it, the Rebbe is telling us to step back and look at the entire section. Don't just look at this verse. It also often happens that the Rebbe will explain a Rashi and a verse and say, Rashi is sort of bothered or sort of interpreting the entire section, context, not just text. Don't just look at this verse and say, well, what is it doing here? What's before it and after it? And in both cases, in both of these verses, namely the opening and closing of the section of arayas, of illicit relationships, the Torah goes on and on and on telling us how bad this is, which is quite unusual. Sandwiched in between are the actual rules. So before the rules, it says, before at the opening section, it says, I am Hashem, your Lord, and it goes on, I don't know, three, four verses that don't follow the ways of Egypt and the ways of Canaan and follow my laws and my statutes and follow them. And again, repeats it, and we should do them and you will live with them. Three or four verses, very, very strong. And then again, at the end, also sort of an on and on going run-on verses. What do you got here? Like seven verses closing this section after all the laws are said and done. Don't become so impure. This is what the nations did. And I punished them and the land spit them out. But you should follow my laws and my system and stay away from all these abominations. Because all these abominations have made the land impure through them. And the land will not spit you out. Does it spit them out? Et cetera, et cetera. And whoever does it, you get cut off. Very, very strong. So this is the way the Rebbe is reading what's bothering Rashi. It's not just the actual words, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. If it was just that. So maybe, yeah, Rashi would have written just one line in each. One line in each. An opening. If you do this, remember, I'm your God. And if you don't do it, I'm not your God. It would have been sufficient. But it's coming in the context that the Torah goes on and on. So clearly Hashem is trying to make a point. And the point, says the Rebbe, is that this is a very, very big, difficult mitzvah. It's a difficult sin. It's a tough one. In fact, as Rashi himself brings down, Hashem knows that the Jewish people did succumb to it and do succumb to it. It's a big challenge. It's a big Yetzer Hara. It's a big taiva. And therefore, says the Rebbe, Hashem went out of his way, and he threw in an extra three or four verses at the beginning and at the end to say, stay away from this. It's like Egypt. It's like Canaan. It's bad. It'll spit you out. It's no good. It's abomination. He's laying it down hard because he knows it's a tough one. With all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, apparently, it's enough to say, don't do it or do it. Sometimes you add a little reward. Sometimes a little extra nudge. It's a positive and a negative mitzvah. In this case, because of the fact that the Yetzer Hara is very strong when it comes to this issue, Hashem doesn't suffice, and he lays it down, and he throws in all these extra verses. It's impurity, it's Canaan, it's Egypt, it's abomination, etc., etc. So that's the context. Based on that context, opening and closing with these long narratives, The Torah again opens with I am Hashem, your God, and ends with I am Hashem, your God, which also, by the way, is very, very unusual. That it should just begin before you even said hello. Tell the children of Israel, hello, I am Hashem, your God. That's the opening statement, and that's the ending statement. Because it's coming in the context of an understanding, and this is a tough one. This is going to need not just an introduction, like in other places where it says, I am Hashem, your Lord, and it refers to Hashem saying, look, I'm decreeing you. Or alternatively, in some cases, it means reward and punishment. It needs both. It needs all of the above. And that's how the Rebbe is going to explain first the opening section. Hashem says to the Jewish people, I am Hashem, your Lord. I'm about to introduce to you a very difficult mitzvah. I want to empower you to stand by it because you're going to be drawn to it. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you three things. As Rashi himself says, you see, the Rebbe is standing on very strong footing here. It's revealed to him that the Jews will eventually succumb to this sin. This is going to be a tough one, and therefore he presents them with a decree. Not just he presents that it's coming from him. And he lays down 3 points. I am Hashem the Lord, meaning no decree this upon you. Number two, a judge who exacts payment. And three, is faithful to dispense reward. The Rebbe walks us through this whole conversation that Hashem has with each of us, God forbid, to keep us away from these kind of things. Because they're tough. Number one, Hashem says. Number one, Hashem says, I want you to know who decreed this upon. I want to know, where am I? Sorry. I want you to know who decreed this upon you that I did. Translation, I'm the creator of the world. And therefore, if I decree this upon you, it's probably good for you. It's probably not good for you to violate it. So that's number one. I know it feels good and you're running to it. It's a tough Yetzirah. Ani, first number one, I am. No, the Rebbe reads the Rashi in the verse. The verse has 3 points. I am Hashem, your Lord. Ani, Hashem, Elokeichem. They line up. I am is, it's I. Know who decreed this upon you, who decreed it upon you, not just somebody or someone important, the one who created the world. And therefore, if I create the world and I run the world, you need to know that this has to be the right thing for you, and violating it can't be good. It's just not good. Don't do it. Know who it's coming from. It's like if someone that loves you, your father, who tells you don't do this, I say, watch who's telling this to you. Okay. Then if that's not enough, the person says, I know it can't be good for me, but what can I do? I can't withstand the Yetzirah. And even though Hashem said it's bad, I am going to take my chances and I'm not going to worry about what's going to be later. It's going to be later. Now it's good. Now it's a pleasure. I'm taking the pleasure. I'm not going to think about the future. Comes along and he continues in order to keep us away from this and says the third point, a judge who exacts payment. And this means not just that Hashem brings punishment. Payment means that it undoes the whole thing. Payment means that you pay everything back. Somehow the punishment for these sins is such that there's no pleasure left. You paid it all back. So don't think, well, you know, I know that Hashem doesn't want it. It can't be good one day in a future life. But right now, what am I going to do? Let me just enjoy. I'm not going to worry about the future. No, you pay it all back. Very, very strong. Hashem realizes it needs a very strong encouragement, and he lays it down. So we're going to have two reasons not to do this. A, know who's commanding you. Hashem, the creator of life, who knows what's good for us. Don't do it. This is bad. It's just not good for you. Number two, I don't really care about the future. I'm going to live today and enjoy myself. It's a judge who exacts payment. You're going to pay it all back. There's going to be nothing left from the pleasure. But there's one more point left. The person says, Hashem, so why'd you do this? If it's so bad, why'd you give me a Yetzirah that draws me in that direction? It's not fair. Says Hashem, because he's faithful to reward. The whole idea is I want to give you star. I want to give you free choice. So can I reward you? Which is really what the whole purpose of the neshama counting down on earth. to overcome the challenges, and therefore the neshama becomes much closer to Hashem, etc. And now the whole thing makes sense. So we have the three-pronged inspiration before this action. I am Hashem, your Lord, which clearly is a huge motivation, as the verse goes on, four or five verses of how tough this might be and how bad it is, because it's a tough temptation and challenge, and he lays it down in three levels. Again, know who's commanding you. This can't be good. Two, you pay it all back, so don't even think I'm going to not worry about the future. And why would Hashem set me up for such a challenge? Because he wants to reward me. It's all for my men. Now the person's inspired. Says the Rebbe that Hashem comes back at the end of the section, after he says a bunch of rules and regs on how to live like a mensch and stay away from any unkosher relationships. The Torah again gives a whole megillah of how bad it is, and it spits out the land and everything. And then again finishes with the words, I am the Lord your God. And here too, we need an explanation. Why is it repeated? So clearly Hashem is saying to us in Torah that all of the earlier inspiration is not enough. We need a new inspiration. Says the Rebbe, and the last inspiration after this section, including the closing words, I am the Lord your God, mirrors the first. However, it mirrors it in the negative. The opening time it says, I am the Lord your God, is positive. You know who's commanding you, and there's reward, there's punishment. Parenthetically, all those verses that are written right at the opening, also very positive. You don't want to become impure like the Egyptians and the Canaanites. It's inspiration. But at the end, I'm going to call it threats. It's very, very strict. At the end, it's like you're going to be spat out of the land. The land will spit you out. The Torah says it's bad news. So it's almost like there could be somebody that even the aforementioned introduction would not be enough, and he needs a zetz to keep him going, to stay away from this Yetzirah, and therefore it ends with that, and therefore the last three words, which close the whole portion, I am the Lord your God again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, have to mirror, but they mirror it in the negative. They mirror it in, almost like in the threatening way, which is much stronger. How do they mirror? Let's go through it. First of all, the opening section, the first word of Rashi is, don't defile yourself. I am Hashem, your Lord, says Rashi. If you do defile, I'm not your Lord. You see how powerful that is? It's one thing to tell a Jid, listen to me, I'm your God. The other is, if you don't listen to me, I'm not your God. And the Rebbe explains how that wakes up every Jid. We see it openly. You ask a Jid to do a mitzvah or whatever, and he says, hey, I'm not interested. But you tell him, you know what? You're not Jewish. Are you kidding me? He'll kill you for saying that. So the negative has a tremendous power to bring out the neshama. Now you're telling me that I don't do it. I'm severing the connection. A Jew never tolerates it. So therefore, if you defile yourself, I'm not your Lord. And here too, we have one, two, and three mirroring the earlier conversation. So when it says, I am, remember we said the three levels, I am Hashem, your Lord. I am matches up with know who decreed upon you. That's the positive motivation. But at the closing of the section is the negative motivation. You're unfit to be my followers. I'm not even saying I'm the grain. You're unfit to even be my followers. It's basically saying I'm boss in a negative way. I'm no longer your boss. Much stronger. When it says Hashem faithful to reward, that was the intro. Here we say, what benefit will I have from you? Meaning to say, the whole idea of reward is that Hashem gives us reward because we give him pleasure. We give him nachas. Hashem says, you give me no pleasure. So again, everything is said in the negative, which is much stronger. And then finally, when it says, I'm a judge who exacts payment, here the language is you deserve annihilation. You know, in a simple sense, that's the worst payment. But the Rebbe turns it even more. When we say exacting payment, when there's punishments in Torah, it's always for our benefit. It's always to cleanse the soul. So even though it's painful, but it represents a relationship. Here Hashem says there's no more relationship. I'm not even looking to exact payment. It's annihilation. There's nothing. Because it's sort of like I don't care anymore. You have severed the relationship completely, and this becomes the greatest disconnect and ultimately, therefore, the greatest inspiration. So the Rebbe explains to us in this sikha. So clearly, what did we accomplish? We see how the words of Rashi are precise. There's nothing extra here. Rashi needed all the details in both of these verses. The wordiness is based on the context. We're both by the introduction and the closing, there's a tremendous amount of verses in pushing the importance of this decree because it's a tough one. At the beginning in a positive way, at the end in a negative way. And the same thing is in the actual words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, by the intro and by the closing, they mirror one another. And I think the takeaway here is, I said earlier that when you tell a Jew to do a mitzvah, that's one thing, but when you tell a Jew he's losing his connection. You know, look what's happening now with anti-Semitism rearing its ugly head. We're hearing stories of people who are engaged to non-Jews, and they're breaking up their relationship because of what's happening, because the non-Jew calls them a dirty Jew or whatever, and now they feel a disconnection. When you're touching the connection of a Yid, when you're telling me that I'm not Jewish, I'm not going to stand for that. And suddenly that brings it out within every single one of us, that connection. I think this is mirrored in Tanya, where chapters 18 to 25, where the Alter Rebbe explains a relatively easier way to serve Hashem with complete consistency. The longer way, right? Chassidim say that till chapter 17 is sort of the longer way, and chapter 18 to 25 is the shorter way. And what does it mean? The longer way is the Chabad way. Do a lot of meditation, think about Hashem's greatness, and you'll have love and awe of Hashem on some level, and you'll live like a Yid, an inspired Yid. 18 to 25, he offers a shorter way. And in short, it means that the person uncovers the fact that he has an essential love to Hashem, which is unseverable. Ultimately, at the end of the day, he'll give his life for it. However, how come he's able to not do a mitzvah or violate a sin? Because he doesn't think that these little actions really matter. And the section there explains in those seven chapters in great detail how really every single mitzvah is an embrace of the essential bond, and every avera is in a sense a sever of the essential bond. This a yid can tell it. The way you say it in the modern terms, every yid has a red line they won't cross. You know, for some people it is eating on Yom Kippur or breaking Shabbos or eating chazer. For others it might be marrying a non-Jew or walking to a church, whatever it might be. Every Jew has their red line. It doesn't matter what it is, but they have it. And you ask why? If the person is not Shomer Torah Mitzvah, they're not really observing. How come there's that red line they'll never cross? And the answer is because they're not going to give up the title Jew. They're not willing to give up that essential connection. Everything else, yeah. The essential bond, no way. When that chapter explains that really every sin is a disconnect and it touches the essential bond, that keeps the Jew away. So perhaps that's what the Sikha is trying to tell us here, that Hashem is telling us, especially when this example of illicit relationships which slap us down, and there's a strong pull to it, says the Torah. If the positive motivation doesn't help, all the things we said that this is good for you and this is going to be a challenge, but it's a test to give you a reward and everything else, there's a negative. And the negative is, how does Rashi begin? If you defile yourself, I'm not your Lord. But Yid says, you're not my Lord. I'm not taking a chance. You're not connected to me. No way. And that would work. That would work, and to bring the Yid to observe these mitzvahs. The Rebbe sort of mirrors this in the last footnote in the Sikha, where the Rebbe quotes the Rashi. Ma hano yesh li michem. What pleasure do I have from you? Like Hashem is throwing us away, so to speak. And again, I think it's becoming very positive. Hashem is throwing us away because he wants to evoke that thing, that place where we can't live with that. So, and the best way to evoke it is that negative. So the Rebbe says, therefore, the language is, what benefit will they have for you? Why doesn't he just say it straight out? Why does he ask it with a question? Why doesn't he just say, I got no benefit from you. I have no pleasure from you. Rashi doesn't say that. The language that Rashi says, Mahano yeshli mikem, what pleasure do I have from you? Why is it asking rhetorically? Because that's an opportunity to inspire the Jew. If you look at a Jew and you say, what pleasure could Hashem have from you? The Jew's going to start thinking, let me tell you what, I did this mitzvah, I did that mitzvah. Suddenly the rhetorical question evokes the Yid, and he says, you're asking me what pleasure you have for me? you will have pleasure for me. And that brings the Yid closer and stronger to Hashem.